Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We come from Woolwich Evangelical Church down at Wood Hill. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of invitation, words of life, words of warning, and words of help. Hear the words spoken, written by Moses centuries before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a glorious manifesto of God's plan and mind toward us. And also, friends, such a detailed analysis of the human heart, as you'll never find in any textbook of psychology or psychiatry. I can tell you, I've read a few of them. There's nothing so precise, nothing so close to the bone as the Bible. You know, friends, if you went to a close friend and you asked him to describe to you your faults, wouldn't he list them out? Wouldn't he give them to you like a telephone directory? But somebody who stands afar off and doesn't know you well, they wouldn't know you from Adam. They wouldn't know your faults and your foibles and your weaknesses. They wouldn't know your fatal character flaws. But oh, friends, when the scriptures come to us, they analyse us like the back of God's hand. They know us. They know our excuses. They know our vain masks. They know our pretenses. They know the layers of foundation cream we put over our faults and flaws. Oh, friends, God sticks close to us than a brother. He knows our hearts. He knows our flaws. He knows our faults. And oh, friends, how detailed his description of our state is. Think, for example, friends, of that early description in the scriptures of our first parents. Here is the first encounter between the tempter and man. In fact, of course, it was woman, the weaker vessel. And this is what Satan first said. Has God said? Has God said? And all, friends, we hear the same words echoed down through the ages, often through the mouths of clergymen, no less. Has God said? Here was a challenge. Here was an invitation to doubt. Here was an invitation to suspicion. An invitation, friends, to reconsider the foundations of our lives. And it's a worthy challenge in some respects for us to think about the foundations upon which we build our lives. What are you building your life on this morning? Is it quicksand? Is it vain imagination? Is it a hope, friends, in the goodness of human nature? In the goodness of humankind, then, friends, you'll find it very quickly becomes quicksand, a sand that envelops and swallows up those who stand upon it. What are you building the house of your life upon this morning? But here is Satan's first question to Eve. Has God said? How can we know that God has revealed himself through his word? How can we know that there is a God? How can we know that he has spoken through his word? These are questions the Bible loves to address, loves to answer very fully. So fully, friends, that in the day of judgment, when we stand face to face with God, we will not have a leg to stand on. We will not have an ounce of an excuse in the presence of Almighty God. Friends, have you considered this? Have you considered God's arguments? Have you read his word? Have you heard it preached? Have you ever considered or read the Gospels or the prophets? Oh, friends, so many of our foolish excuses are exposed. So many of our counter-reasonings are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Here was Satan's first challenge to Eve. He said, has God said? Well, friends, there's an abundance of evidence that God has spoken. Who else could see into the future hundreds of years? Who else, friends, could see the crucified Saviour thousands, 1,000 years before his birth? Depict him in this festival that we're about to celebrate next week, the Passover. A wonderful institution arranged 1,400 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, friends, what detail. What extraordinary analysis of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do and suffer, and how he would triumph over sin, how he would accomplish his own death. Now, we don't often speak of death in those terms, but that's precisely what Jesus came to do. To die. To die. Why? What was the point? Why did the Lamb of God come to suffer and to die? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the one foretold and foreseen by every one of the true Hebrew prophets, why did he have to die? Why did he have to go to the cross? Why, friends, did he cry those terrible words on the cross? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you don't know the key to those, friends, you're still a stranger to the mystery of grace. Still a stranger to the gift of God. still a stranger to the depths of God's love and of his patience and of his kindness. These are things we need to know before we die. These are things we must know, friends, before we face eternity. These are things of final reckoning. They're matters of greatest weight. There's nothing so important, friends, as knowing God's mind. Nothing so important as knowing the purpose of life. You may, like so many young people, say, well, I'll eke out my own purpose. I'll plan my own course. I'll do it my own way. But friends, that's the way to hell. It's the way to destruction. Even the old English proverb puts it so nicely. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. And so, friends, it is. Solomon puts it this way. The way of life is hidden from men. There is a way that seems right to men, and yet it ends in the ways of death. Oh, friends, sincerity is absolutely no protection from error. You can be very, very sincere and absolutely wrong, absolutely mistaken, absolutely ensnared before the end. Oh, friends, we need truth. We need wisdom. We need godliness. We need repentance. We need understanding. And yet, friends, in our foolish generation, it's the very last thing we seek. It used to be said by Churchill of the Americans, they tried everything else, and eventually they tried the right way. Is that going to be your epitaph, friends? You tried everything else, and then at the end of life, when you came close to death, then, for the last moment, in the last seconds, you thought, perhaps there is a God. Perhaps there is a heaven and a hell. Perhaps there was a purpose to life. And I neglected and ignored it all my life. Oh, friends, don't let that be the case with you. When Satan came to Eve, here was the temptation he presented before her. A fruit. Something unknown. Something forbidden. It looked good. It tasted good. It seemed wise. It seemed good to gain experience. And oh, friends, Satan is just the same today. He presents to us experiences that are forbidden. But look good, taste good, and all friends, we're told to believe the experience is good. But what did it end up for Eve? Death! Death, friends! The wages of sin is death. Break God's law, and all friends, we stand under his indignation, under his anger, under his curse, under the awful weight of eternal condemnation. We need to wake up, friends. God is not a benign, smiling grandfather with no interest in humankind. He watches us. He weighs us. He tries us. He sees us. And oh, friends, he knows us. You know, God is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. For every breach of his law, he'll hold us to account. And friends, God has made his law, his commands, absolutely plain. Absolutely manifest. Here, the very first of the commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. How can you love him, friends, if you don't even know him? How can you love him if you don't know his commands? How can you love him, friends, if you don't know his son? In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the place of return. There, friends, is a place for dead, lifeless sinners like you and me by nature to come back into the presence of that loving, faithful God, that holy God, that righteous God, that God who'll be vindicated in all that he's said and done. Friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your life. Don't throw away your soul. Don't throw away the opportunity of a prayer life, a real connection with God and with eternity. Don't throw away spiritual realities. For what? A flesh pot? A nest? Oh, friends, so many are like Esau in these days. They're exchanging their inheritance for a mess of pottage. A few pleasures, a few scraps of drunken pleasure, a few one-night stands, and oh, friends, there they are, cursed forever. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Seek wisdom before it's too late. Friends, what exchange have you made? What have you sold your soul for? What is the awful exchange you've made for sin? Wake up to righteousness. Seek his face. Ask him for light and for understanding while he may still be found. Eve was presented with a temptation. It looked good. It tasted good. And oh, friends, the experience she thought was needful to make her wise. What a picture of sex outside of marriage. Friends, the world says don't worry about it. Go with the flow. Christ and the Bible says, don't love the world, or else you'll ruin your soul. Don't fool your own heart. Don't be deceived, friends. Don't ruin your eternal life. Don't wreck your family life. Don't rip apart friends, your relationships with the opposite sex. Seek wisdom. Seek life. Turn back from the ways that will lead you down to decadence and weakness. Oh, friends, why have you become a moral jellyfish? Why are you living like a creature of the swamp? Why, friends, are you a puppet of Satan, drawn by the flesh, drawn by the senses, drawn by your own desires, dead while you still live, a kind of zombie creature? Oh, friends, with no thought of eternity, no thought of higher spiritual principles, what is the state of your conscience this morning? Eve's conscience was sleeping. She saw this temptation and she allowed that alarm system to be turned off. She allowed, friends, that red light to be ignored. What will you do this morning? What will you do this weekend? Wreck your soul, ruin your own spirit, live a creature of Satan, live a worshipper of this present evil world? Oh, friends, wake up before it's too late. Turn back from sin. Seek wisdom and light and righteousness. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross, there is the meeting place of God's justice and his mercy. You won't find God anywhere else. You won't find his purpose and his mind anywhere else. We need that blood, friends. We need that blood price paid for sin. Here's the great message of the Passover. Here's the great message of Easter, the feast we're about to celebrate. That sin brings death. And without that death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must pay it with our own lives. We must pay it with our own souls. Oh, friends, is your heart still impenitent? Is your spirit still ungrateful, unmindful, dead as a snail, unclean and unwilling? Wake up to righteousness while he may still be found. Go to him for mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He doesn't like to reproach us or approve us. He loves to welcome those who have a humble heart. He loves to welcome those who are hungry for righteousness and truth. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't be careless. This coming Easter, friends, what are you going to be doing? What are you going to do with your time? You've got precious time, friends. You're going to meditate on sacred and holy matters. You're going to meditate on what God requires, on who God is, on what God is like, and what God has said. Oh, friends, you're going to waste it. Throw it down the drain. Oh, friends, don't let it be so. Seek him. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for help. Hear his word. Hear it explained simply and clearly. In Christ, there is the great gift and kindness of the living God. There is his patience stretched out to us sinful men and women. In him, friends, is the place of return from an unwashed, unclean, enslaved kind of life. In Christ, there is liberty from the chains of self, liberty from the chains of desire, liberty, friends, from the vain bondage of this world. Come to him for light. Come to him for grace. Eve saw that fruit, and what did she see? Something that looked good, tasted good. As the old songs would say, looks are right, it couldn't be wrong. But it was wrong, and it brought death. Friends, what are you doing this morning with your soul? What are you doing with your spirit? What are you doing with your eternal life? What have you done with your record? How will you stand before the judge? How will you stand before him as you are now? How can you possibly give an account for the things you've said and done? Without mercy, without washing, without cleansing. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Though our friends looked at critically, looked at seriously, what are our hearts but a cesspool of sin? We need mercy. We need washing. We need the gift of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else, friends, is able to cleanse a sinful soul. No one else is able to take an alcoholic and make him straight, make him sober, make him strong. No one else is able to take a thief and make him generous and gracious. And yet here is the glorious transformation. The Lord Jesus Christ works to raise us from the dead, a zombie kind of life, a death kind of loving life. In Christ is life from the dead. Oh, friends, don't despise him. Don't despise the needs of your own soul. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Go to a place where you'll hear his word explained. Go to a place where you'll hear those simple, plain, spoken, loving warnings of the Bible. Go to him, friends, while there's still opportunity. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't neglect the very purpose of God. Don't neglect the very purpose of life. Don't neglect the glorious death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Who else has conquered death? Muhammad hasn't. Confucius hasn't. Buddha hasn't. Guru Nanak hasn't. None of the great leaders or thinkers of the past have brought themselves free from sin by their own wisdom, by their own strength. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. Only the Lord Jesus Christ overcame death, was free, perfectly free from sin, untainted by selfishness, untainted by uncleanness. Oh, friends, why despise the mercy and the patience of the living God? Why despise his outstretched hand? What is the benefit, friends, of a life lived for sin? What is the outcome of a life lived for ungodliness? What is the outcome, friends, of sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption? What is the benefit, friends, of a life lived for the here and now, lived just for the senses, ignorant of higher purposes, ignorant of the spiritual and the eternal? What is the benefit, friends, of filling your stomach and not filling your soul? Of neglect, of feeding your soul on junk food in the Lord Jesus Christ? Very soon, my friend, you'll discover how real he is. Very soon you'll discover just how real he is. Come to him while he's still near at hand, and in him you'll find light and grace and power. I'd like to read to you these words too from Genesis. Here are words of Moses written about 1,400 years before the birth of Christ, and yet how beautifully they describe our own society in 2014. Oh, friends, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." What are we supposed to be? A mirror of God's holiness. A mirror of his love, of his purity, of his nobility. A mirror of his generosity. A mirror of his grace and his truth. What have we become? Defiled. Filled with graffiti. Filled with vandalism. Oh, friends, we've written all over the image of God. Selfishness and corruption and deceit have defiled that image of God that should shine brightly in us. So that only one is the true image of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, friends, are all the fullness of God's truth and grace. In Christ is grace upon grace. Look at his life. Look at it critically. Read his words. Read how he suffered. Read of his trials, friends, and there you'll see a life unlike any other. You won't find it in Muhammad. You won't find it in Confucius. You won't find it in Guru Nanak. You certainly won't find it in Gautama, Siddhartha, the Buddha. Look at Christ. Look at the Messiah. In him, friends, you'll find that mirror of God's glory. You know, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't you know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." Look at Christ's words and you'll find a life of power, a life of simplicity, a life of nobility, and a life of absolute purity, without seam from beginning to end. No one, friends, lived a life without deceit, without pride, without uncleanness like the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that we celebrate, those that we commend, the great kings and thinkers of the past, think of Albert Einstein, for example. Oh, friends, what a shipwreck of a life. Look at his family life. What a mess. What a horrible, stinking mess it was. A Christ life from beginning to end, from the cradle to the grave and beyond. What a testimony. What a burning and a shining light. He didn't torture his opponents. He didn't marry many wives. In Christ was a life of perfect purity, a life of perfect humility. And yet he laid it down for us. In Christ is God's own Son, revealed in the flesh, wisdom incarnate. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his teachings? What have you done with his solid doctrine? What have you done with the meat and the bread of his word? What have you done, friends, with his arguments? Why are you fooling around with sin? Why are you messing around with the flesh? Why, friends, are you dallying with the world? In Christ there is light and life for our dead souls. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, as we were saying earlier, how beautifully accurate the scriptures are in their description of the human heart. Here is what Moses wrote in the times of Noah. Now, many people laugh at the idea of Noah and the global flood. Many people say, well, what a myth. Look at the way Hollywood treats it, like it does so many other matters. A sort of fairy tale, a sort of myth. But, oh, friends, you only need to look at a geological structure like the Karoo Formation in South Africa, or the Grand Canyon, or the Missoula flood in Washington State, and you see the most extraordinary testimony to God's power. The most extraordinary testimony to a global catastrophe. Oh, friends, look at the rock layers of Mount St. Helens, and then look again at the Grand Canyon, and you'll see an uncanny similarity. Oh, friends, what a fool to laugh off the idea of a global catastrophe like the flood. What a fool to say that fossils must be millions and millions of years old when we find in them living, almost viable cells and proteins and double-stranded DNA and a whole range of other chemicals that should have perished if those structures had lasted for a million years as claimed. Oh no, friends. Noah's testimony is our testimony. And we need to beware of those warnings of Noah in his own generation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in the last days, they'll be just like the days of Noah. Men will be going about their own things, in their own wickedness, in their own selfishness, neglecting the warnings of God, neglecting his call, neglecting his commands. And then they'll be carried away like a flood. Oh, friends, here is what was written in Noah's day. God saw that the imagination of the heart was only evil continually. So it is today. The imaginations of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. What creatures we are, friends. Made in the image of God. And yet, friends, worshippers of Satan. Worshippers of the flesh. Worshippers of sin. Worshippers of things we know are wrong. We know will bring us harm. Worshippers of death. Worshippers of things that are cursed and cut off. We need grace. We need Christ. We need the cross. We need that glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which alone can break the chains of sin. Oh, friends, shake off the dust. You've lived long enough in sin and self. Shake off the dust. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him, friends, to write his law in your heart. Ask him for that love of God you've lacked all these decades. Oh, friends, come to him for grace. Come to him for light. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the one with outstretched hands of warning and outstretched hands of invitation. Look at the cross. There, friends, you'll meet the meeting place of God's justice and his mercy. There you'll meet the meeting place of God's severity and his gentleness. In the cross, there is the gateway of heaven. There is no other. There is no other place by which we can find peace with the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for light. Again, the words of Moses, he said this. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. What a verdict. But this is how he sees us, friends. Our hearts are stained with sin. Stained with things that he disapproves of. Stained with things that he knows will wreck us and ruin us. We need washing. Why would you live with a filthy cloth? Why would you live, friends, with filthy underclothes? And that's what you're doing with your imagination. That's what you've done with your heart. Come and wash in the cross. Come and wash at the foot of the cross. Come and wash those sins away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him for a clean heart. Ask him for a glorious new birth. Ask him for that new creation that only comes through his word and through his power. Friends, what have you done with your heart? What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your life if you don't know that glorious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask him for light and for grace while he may still be found. I'd like to read to you two, friends, words of Pharaoh. How often we hear them echoed. Here's what the greatest king of the earth said in the face of Moses when he first heard the command and the call of the living God. He said this, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord?" You know, Pharaoh, in saying these words, was the greatest of fools. When Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is the Lord?" he didn't understand the very foundation of his own kingdom, the very foundation of his own economic and political power. He'd forgotten about Joseph. He'd forgotten about the history of his own nation. How true that is of us. We've forgotten the basis of our blessing. We've forgotten the unwritten constitution of our own nation. Of our own nations, I should say. We've forgotten, friends, the very foundation stone on which we stand when we say, "Who is God? Who is the Lord that we should obey him?" Seek him, friends. Turn to him. Ask him for grace. and for light while he's still near at hand. Seek his face. Pharaoh said to Moses, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that we should obey him? But our friends, the evidence was staring him in the face. If only he'd looked back into his own history a couple of hundred years, Pharaoh had looked through the annals, he'd have seen where he gained his power, on what basis his kingdom stood. He would have understood the power of Jehovah to bless and to bring low. The power of Jehovah, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless and to curse. But oh friends, how forgetful a man that unbelieving Pharaoh was. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? What a foolish thing, friends, to say there is no God. What a dangerous thing it is to say there is no creator. What a foolish thing, friends, to forget the very foundation of our being. The one who authored the glorious architecture of the cell. The one who brought the intricate balance of our constitution into being. The master architect. The master artist. The master craftsman. In Christ, friends, there is God's own mind revealed to us. Take heed to his warnings. Listen to his voice. Don't neglect these treasures, friends. Don't neglect these things before it's too late. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for that thing which is more precious than gold. Far more precious than £1 million on the foolish lotteries. Far more precious, friends, than all the things you could desire. The fear of God and the understanding of the holy. In Christ, there is the only way by which sin can be washed away. By his blood, by his death, by his overcoming of death, there is the only key to life. Seek him, turn to him, while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there, friends, is the great fountain of life. There is the Alpha and the Omega. There is the Prince of Life and the Lord of Death. There is no other. There is no other who could say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me shall never die. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light and for grace while he's still near at hand. Again, friends, like to read to you one of the words written by the prophets, perhaps the greatest of the written prophets, Isaiah, whose words in many ways are like a video. How plainly they depict the cross. How wonderfully, friends, though revealed centuries before, they depict the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Isaiah's words, what an extraordinary description you see of our own generation, of our own hearts, of our own folly, of our own sin, of our own ensnaredness. In Christ, there is the only way by which our sinful souls can be liberated. The only way by which our stains can be relieved. How does Isaiah see his own nation? The Hebrew nation in his own day, he says this, it's sick. And our friends, our nation, is just the same. It's sick. You only need to visit some of our bookstalls. You only need to look at the smutty teenage magazines. You only need to look at the television for half a minute to see the sickness of our society. How rotten, how unclean, how filthy we've become. But this is what the Lord says through his servant. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my sight. Wash you, make you clean. What excuse do you have for a filthy heart or a filthy tongue when the full provision is made in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, there is an open fountain by which our hearts and tongues can be made clean. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What have you done with him? Haven't you listened to his warnings? Haven't you listened to his promises? Haven't you listened to his glorious invitations? Friends, what excuse can you possibly make for neglecting eternal life? What possible exchange could you make for your own soul, for your own eternity, for the gift of the living God? What possible exchange, friends, could you make? What kind of foolishness is it to choose the flesh over the spirit? What kind of carelessness, friends, is it to exchange eternal life for a smutty one-night stand? Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Strong drink is a mocker, and wine is a raging. Oh, friends, don't be deceived by drugs, by drink, by foolishness, by gambling, by the pleasures of the flesh, things that are snares for the spirit, things that are snares for the soul. Ask for wisdom. Ask for light. Ask for grace. Marriage is honourable in all. and the bed undefiled. Sex is a wonderful and a sacred gift, but only within the bounds of sacred matrimony. Only within the bounds of the covenant. Only within the bounds of the arrangement that God has set out for us. And oh, friends, we're not talking about a kind of false marriage between those of the same sexes. What a gimmick. What a foolish snare for the soul. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the way by which our sins can be washed away. There, friends, is the way by which a wounded soul can be lifted up and strengthened. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the fountain of life, the fountain of mercy. Ask Him for light. Ask Him for grace. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, never turn people away. Those who are vile and loathsome to others, He welcomed with open arms. And with a touch of power, He changed them forever. Don't be foolish, friends. Don't be careless. The Lord Jesus Christ loves to receive sinners. Loves to receive those who know their own hearts, know their own wickedness, know their own chains, feel their own bitterness of heart, know their own great need of salvation. Come to Him for life. Come to Him for washing. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace and mercy. Here, take that one. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace and mercy. Enough, friends, like an ocean to wash away our great cesspool of sin. What kind of life are you leading this morning? What kind of imagination? What's the state of your soul this morning? What's the garden of your spirit like in the sight of the living God? Is it, friends, filled with the weeds of selfishness and deceitfulness and bitterness and ingratitude and self-interest? Oh, friends, cut away the weeds. Cut away those things that God hates. Turn away from the things that will ruin your soul and take you down to hell. Seek Him while He may be found. Go to Him for mercy and for grace. It isn't a joke. It isn't a game. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is mercy to wash us and to bless us. Ask Him for light and for grace while He may still be found. Here's what Isaiah said to his own generation, and we say it to ours, friends. Wash you. Make you clean. What is the benefit of living with an unwashed soul, with an unwashed imagination, with a filthy heart? You know you won't stand in the sight of God. You know you won't stand up to the searchlight of His law. You know you don't love Him with all your heart and soul and spirit. Friends, in the cross is the doorway to life. Go back to Him. Go back to His arms. Go back to His mercy. Seek Him while He may still be found. Go along, friends, to a Bible-believing church. Why is it you're so frightened of church? Why is it you're so frightened, friends, from a place that'll help you with your sin? Help you understand wisdom and light and godliness. Help you to understand your own heart and the heart of God. Anyone would think God was a monster or a land of darkness by the way you treat Him. By the way you won't discuss Him. By the way you won't think about Him. By the way you won't reason seriously over His word. But oh, friends, God is not a monster. What a gracious, patient, faithful one He is. But He will not swerve from justice. He will not swerve from His law. He cannot break His law. He cannot break His solemn warnings. Oh, friends, if we live with an unwashed heart and an unwashed spirit, we stand condemned. We stand under His indignation even now. Even now, we need His mercy. Even now, friends, we need that return. That gift of a new heart. That gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, the words of Isaiah, he says this. Come now and let us reason together. God is not some stranger to careful reasoning. He's not a stranger, friends, to articulate arguments. He knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our objections. He knows our doubts. He knows our prejudices. And He invites us to life, whatever our background. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the fullest provision made for sin. There is the fullest provision made for the wounds of our spirit. In Christ, there is the great wounded healer. There, friends, is the one who came to bring us life, who is slain, and rose again from the dead in order to bless us, in order to give us life. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that great Lamb of God, spoken of by all the prophets, from the beginning to the end, the A to Z, the Alpha to Omega. In Christ, there is the doorway back into His presence. Taste and see for yourselves, the Lord is good. We're not monkeying around, friends, this morning. There's nothing else that would bring me out on a Saturday morning. Nothing else but the love of Christ. If I discover the cure for cancer, If I'd found some wonderful discovery in my researches, I certainly wouldn't be here preaching about it this morning. In Christ, there, friends, is something worth preaching about. There is something we cannot but speak about, because here is the treasure of heaven. Here, friends, is wisdom incarnate. Here, friends, is the key to eternal life. Here is washing for sin. Here is pardon for a sinful soul. Here is a change, a life-transforming change of spirit. Take it. Test it. Taste it and see, friends. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come along to Wood Hill or any other truly Bible-believing church, any old historic evangelical church, a place where the Bible is preached and the words of God are loved and embraced. And all, friends, you'll see for yourselves the transforming power of Christ to take somebody who's crooked and filthy and a slave of sin and change them into a lover of righteousness, a lover of the cross, a lover of the Lord God. In him, friends, is power to release us and to deliver us. Why live a slave of Satan? Why live a puppet of the flesh? Why, friends, live under his condemnation and his judgment? Ask him for washing. Ask him for cleansing. Come now and let us reason together, he says. Though your sins be like scarlet, and they are, tattoos in your own spirit, stains that run so deep into your heart, they can never be washed away by good works. They can never be washed away by human religion. Stains in your own spirit that reach right down to the very roots. They'll never be washed away, friends, by good works, by traditional religions. Nothing can touch the power of sin but the cross. Nothing, friends, can uproot that dandelion of sin in our hearts but the cross, but the blood and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, come and find out about the gift of the Lord God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, and you're going to live it. You're living it now. You'll see its consequences in your own heart, in your own family, and your own workplace. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends, for understanding. Ask him for seeing eyes. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the prophet where he says this. What a solemn message the prophet had. Here he has a commission from God to speak to the people, and this is what God says to him. Go and tell this people, hear but understand not, see but perceive not. Make the heart of the people heavy, lest they understand and turn and be converted. You know, friends, a lack of insight is a judgment from God. A lack of perception is a judgment from God. And God is slowly handing us over to our own sins. Reject God, curse him, turn your back on him again and again. And oh, friends, he'll give you over to blindness. He'll give you over to hardness of heart. Now is the time to seek him. Now is the time to find him. Oh, friends, look at your hardened friends. Look how hard they get year on year. Once they were younger, once they're a little wiser, once they're a little more inclined to think about spiritual things, now they've given their hearts to the flesh for a few years, their hearts are hardened. Their hearts are steeled against the goodness and the benevolence of God. They've become impatient. They've become ungrateful. Like a rock, like a stone. You know, the more you go on in the path of ungodliness, the harder you get. The more unsatisfied, the more distasteful, the more ugly we become. As life leads decade onto decade, we give our hearts to sin, our hearts get harder and harder and harder. And then he gives us over finally to hell. Which are you electing this morning, friends? Seek wisdom. Seek life. Seek understanding. Break up that fallow ground. Break up that hard, grounded heart. Seek wisdom while it may still be found. Here is what Isaiah was told to tell the people. Hear indeed, but understand not. See, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people heavy, lest they understand and turn with their hearts and be converted. Friends, we see this on every hand in our own society. Spiritual wisdom is gone, even from our government, especially from our governments, even from the churches, especially from the unbelieving churches. Oh, friends, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom's left to them? We need wisdom, friends, more precious than gold, more precious than diamonds and sapphires, to know the fear of God, to understand his mind and his ways. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wisdom incarnate. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you two friends words of the same prophet where he says this. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Why do you spend your bread for that which does not satisfy? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Oh, friends, you know, Augustine was a man after God's own heart at the end of his life, but he wasn't like that all his life. When he was young, he chased after the flesh. He was as sinful as any one of us. He chased after sin with all his heart, with all his strength and passion. And you know what he said? It didn't satisfy. Like the Rolling Stones sing, I can't get no satisfaction. And so it is for the sinful soul. It's like living in a desert. No water, no bread, no life, no understanding, no perception of spiritual things, no grasp of where we're going, no real communion with the living God. Oh, friends, it needn't be so. There's a banquet laid out for us in the cross. What a feast is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful feast is laid out for us in the gift of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've been. Doesn't matter who you are. In the Lord Jesus Christ is an invitation this morning to make right with God, to come back, to seek his face, to know his power. Why would you have skulls on your scarf? Why would you love death? In Christ, there, friends, is the gift of life. There is the gift of wisdom. And yet, friends, Solomon says this, all those who hate me, that is wisdom, love death. We're a death-loving society. We see it, friends, on the t-shirts, on the scarves of the young people, on the bags. Why, friends, would you love death? Why would you love things that are unclean and unfit? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace and for life while he's still near at hand, for his sake. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us, to bless us, to change us, and to cleanse us. Seek him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with those glorious gospel opportunities? What have you done, friends, with your Sunday evenings? What have you done with that book, the Bible, gathering dust on your own bookshelves? What have you done with it? Why haven't you read about Christ's warnings? Why haven't you read about his description of the whole human soul? Friends, what are you doing if you don't know his grace and his kindness? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends, for the gift of grace, the gift of life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash the filthiest soul in Woolwich. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to break the strongest chain in London. In Christ, there is power to lift a dead, wounded soul up and wash and cleanse. You're welcome to speak to my friend, but I won't stop. In Christ, there is light and life and grace. Ask him for light, friends, while he's still near at hand. The prophet warns us, wash you while you've still got time. Go to that fountain. Go to that place of blessing. Go to that place, friends, where you can find light and help and grace. What possible excuse, friends, could you have for living with a filthy heart? When it comes to the day of judgment, how will you give an account? How will you sustain any possible excuse, friends? When it comes to the day of days and all our sins are made plain, all our ugliness is laid out before his holy presence, all our misdeeds and misthoughts are laid out before the searchlight of his law, how will you have an excuse if you've neglected mercy? It's one thing, friends, to despise his law. What a terrible thing also to despise his mercy. One thing, friends, to despise his warnings. What a dreadful thing it is to despise also his invitation. One thing, friends, to despise the severity of his condemnation. What a dreadful thing to despise the sweetness of his invitations to mercy, to life. Friends, get real before it's too late. Get real to the purpose of life. Get real, friends, to the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him for grace, for light, for mercy, while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace, because in Christ there is the power to wash us and to bless us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, friends, we've got no excuse at all. None at all for despising the gift of God. We've heard about it, many of us, hundreds of times. And yet we still curse God. We still cast his laws behind our back. We still trample the church and its name underfoot. We still despise his mercy. Friends, who can escape us? Who can help us escape from the anger of God? His indignation is going to be very just, very well vindicated, absolutely vindicated. When you neglect mercy time after time after time, when you neglect his warnings and his call, again and again and again, how can you escape his indignation? We need his grace. We need his wonderful patience. We need that wonderful gift of a new heart and a new spirit. Oh, friends, don't be reckless. Don't be foolish. Don't be careless with your own spirit. Ask him for a washed spirit. Ask him for a new heart. Ask him for that cross, that fruit of the cross, which can only be found through the Lord Jesus Christ. A new birth and a new heart and a new creation. You know, friends, I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. My parents are atheists even now. My two brothers, even now, live in unbelief. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wonderful power to change the spirit. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 17, my mother said to me, "What has happened to you? What has happened to you? For every true Christian, it's just the same. What a glorious work he works in the heart." Something, friends, that can't be kept silent about. To know the love of Christ transforms the heart. It changes your life forever. To know the gift of God, to know the truthfulness and the vindication of the living God, what a wonderful thing it is. Seek him. Turn to him. Oh, friends, don't despise this greatest blessing of all. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is power to break the chains of sin. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is liberation from the dark pall of a selfish, careless, pleasure-seeking life. We invite you to come along to Wood Hill, Sunday by Sunday, to come and hear God's word, God's invitation. You hear there, friends, the Bible message laid out simply and clearly to help you understand the way back to God, the way back from the dark paths of sin. Come along and find out. We have a service on Good Friday. We have services too on Easter Sunday. In that church, friends, and in every other historic evangelical church that loves the Bible, you'll find the way of life. You'll find mercy to help wash away sin. You'll find power to transform a dead soul. You'll find that breath of the Holy Spirit. Come to him for life and for grace. Oh, friends, what kind of exchange are you making if you don't know the love of Christ? Don't know the wonderful gift of the living God? Don't know his wonderful power to bless and to transform the soul? Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your eternal soul. Don't alienate the God who would be closer to you than a friend, closer to you than a brother. In Christ, there is a wonderful place of return from the dark paths of sin. There's none like him, friends. Who else has conquered death? Who else has conquered sin? Has Muhammad? Has Confucius? Has Gautama Siddhartha? Has Guru Nanak? Friends, all of these were dead souls, living for death, under the pall of death, while they still lived, as we all are by nature. But in Christ, there is the living spirit sent from heaven. In Christ, there is power to wash us and to cleanse us. Some of you will laugh at me this morning and say, "Well, what about this fragment of manuscript that says that Jesus had a wife?" What an extraordinary testimony, friends. The news media is paying enormous attention to a tiny fragment of Coptic manuscript from six or seven centuries after Christ, and it ignores the whole weight of testimony of the scriptures. You can go, friends, to the British Library this morning if you want. Look at even the Codex Sinaiticus. Look at those early manuscripts of the Bible, written just a few centuries after the birth of Christ, warning us plainly of sin, warning us plainly of a selfish life, warning us plainly of the danger of hell, warning us plainly of the anger of God and the judgment of God against sin. Oh, friends, we're a corrupt generation, a selfish and a foolish generation. We've given our hearts to the flesh, and we're reaping corruption. But in Christ, there is the way of return. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for light. Ask him, friends. Read the Gospels. Read the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke. Read, friends, those solemn warnings, written in the blood of their own authors very often. Written and translated, friends, in the blood of their own translators. Here is the key of life. Here is the key of mercy. Here is the key of grace. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, you know, God watches very, very closely how we react to his word. God notices with extreme care the reaction to his word. When, friends, there was a great king called Jehoiakim, and he took God's word, God's scroll, slashed it up with a penknife and threw it on the fire, every detail was recorded. How we react to God's word, to God's warning, is noted with great detail. Friends, shall I stand in the day of judgment and say, I warned you, I called you these many years, now 10 years. I invited you and I warned you and I called you, and yet you didn't hear. Oh, friends, let it not be so. Come and find out about the gift of the Prince of Peace. Come and find out about the reality of spiritual things. Come and find out about the wonderful banquet laid out for us in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and find out about that love that surpasses all other loves, that power that surpasses all other powers, that wisdom, though it looks foolish to men, that surpasses all other wisdoms in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the cross, friends, what paradoxes gather. You know, Isaiah said of Christ centuries before he was born, here is the mystery. Here is the paradox. Here is the secret of God. And so it is. Here is the healer who was slain. Here, friends, is the raiser of the dead who was put to death for us. Here, friends, is the sinless one, made sin, that we might be made sinless in him. In Christ, there is the glorious gateway to life. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his invitations? What have you done with his great patience? Seek him and turn to him. This Easter time, read his words. Read his invitations. Read his warnings. Take his promises to heart. And in him you'll find glorious life. A life you'll never find in traditional religion. You know, there were two religious men, Cain and Abel. Both very religious. One of them was cursed, the other was blessed. Why was that? Why was Cain cursed? He offered up his labours. He offered up his best. He offered up what he thought he could, but God rejected him. Why? Because he stood in his own righteousness. He stood in his own worth. He stood in his own merit. Cain was rejected and cursed because he thought he was fit to go into God's presence. Is that how you stand this morning, friends? You think, I'm not so bad. I'm not so different from other men. Oh no, friends, go like Abel went. Abel went with a sacrifice. He said, I know I deserve to die. I know I'm a sinner. I know, friends, there's no way I can be washed away except through the offering of the cross of Christ. I know that I stand under the sentence of execution. I know that I sit on death row. And friends, that's exactly where we stand. When we live in sin, when we live for the flesh, when we fulfill the senses, oh, friends, we live under the condemnation of hell and of judgment. We need mercy. We need washing. We need cleansing. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, don't be foolish. Don't be careless. Don't be neglectful. A doctor might say to you, or a dentist might say to you, why haven't you brushed your teeth? Why haven't you used the mouthwash? Why haven't you attended the hygienist? Well, let me ask you, what about the state of your soul? Your mouth may stink, your breath may be bad, but what about the state of your spirit? What about the state of your conscience? What about the state of your virtues? What is the garden of your heart like this morning, friends? Is there love and joy and peace, solid peace? Is there self-control and patience and meekness? Or, friends, is the garden of your soul full of weeds, full of things that horrify God, full of things that defile and despoil the soul, full of things that wreck you and rip you apart? Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for grace and for life while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends, for a clean soul. Ask him, friends, for washing. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He that has no money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Here is a glorious banquet for free. The banquet of righteousness, the banquet of holiness, the banquet of wisdom. And yet, who has a heart to buy it? Who has a heart to seek it? Solomon says, the fool has no heart to wisdom, lest his heart discover itself. How true it is, friends. How true it is, we'd rather not see what lies under the surface of our own hearts. We'd rather not know what lies under the motivation of our own spirit, lest some horrible creepy thing crawls out from under the stones. What is really at the foundation of our motivation? Ugly, selfish pride, so often. Things that God hates. Things that God knows will ruin us. Things that God knows have destroyed us. Things that God knows defile us and wreck us. They eat away at our virtues like a cancer. Friends, the only way to be free of these wretched things is through the cross. The only way to be liberated from sin is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come along, friends, and hear about his glorious gift. Come along and hear about his love. Come along and hear about his kindness and his power to save. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great chain breaker. There is the great liberator of the soul. There's none like him, friends. Muhammad can't liberate you from the sin of selfishness, from the sin of drunkenness, from the sin of some evil habit. Only Christ has the power to wash, to bless, to change. Seek him, turn to him, and ask him, friends, for that gift of a new heart and a new birth. He's not asking you to turn over a new leaf. He's not asking you to do the work yourself. He's saying, come to me and I'll fill your bowl full. Come to me and I'll fill your heart with holiness and righteousness and purity. Come to me and I'll wash that filth away to the very last dregs. Come to me, friends, and however dark, however foolish, however ugly your heart has been, and I'll change it and I'll bless it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a glorious gift. What an amazing sacrifice. Oh, friends, Christ didn't come into this world just to teach us, just to admonish us, just to tell us off. Oh, no. He came to die. He came to be raised from the dead. He came to pay a price we could never pay. He came in his own blood to take the curse that we've earned, that we've deserved, that we will pay in our own blood and in our own soul unless we seek him. And unless we turn to him. Oh, friends, don't be foolish. Don't be deceived. Don't mock your own soul. Don't strangle your own conscience. Ask him for light. Ask him for grace. Ask him for help while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is power to change us. You know, Jeremiah said this, and we've taken it up in the English language. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Sin is indelibly ingrained into our hearts and into our souls. Sin is part and parcel of our being. Only Christ can free it. Only Christ can wash us. Only the cross can deliver us. Only the gift of the Messiah is enough to take away that horrible inferno of sin within. In Christ and in him alone is that wonderful deliverer from sin. Seek him. Turn to him. Don't be foolish, friends. Don't be careless. Don't neglect that which is for your own benefit. Oh, friends, what have you done with your soul? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with your own heart? What have you done with your record before the living God? What have you done with his gracious promises and his invitations? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here's what the same prophet goes on to say. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto our God. Why? For he will abundantly pardon. You know, it doesn't matter what you've been or what you've done. If you go back to the cross, go back to the Christ, go back to that glorious Saviour, he will wash it all away. He will make you as though you'd never sinned. He will make you as pure as snow, as clean as his own Son in his sight. The one of whom he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hear him. Oh, friends, go back to the cross, go back to life, and seek him while he may still be found. Don't be careless, don't be foolish. Oh, friends, with all our hearts this morning, we implore you, don't neglect the purpose of life. Don't neglect the warnings of the living God. Don't neglect, friends, his wonderful invitation to life and to mercy. Don't, friends, be fooled. Don't be deceived by the propaganda of former generations. Ask him for light. Ask him for life. Ask him for a clean spirit. Ask him for a washed heart. And in Christ, you'll find wonderful power to save and to bless. There's none like him, friends. No friend or shepherd like him. All other teachers are flatterers. They come to you, friends, and they say the human heart, after all, is not so bad. They come to you, and they say the religions of men, oh, they can be reformed, they can be changed. Christ puts the stick of dynamite under it all and he says, human self-righteousness is worthless. All our works are as filthy rags. All our own merit and credit in the sight of God is worthless till we come to the cross. Oh, friends, religion won't save you. Self-righteousness won't save you. Going to church won't save you. Confessing your sins to a priest will curse you forever. In Christ and in the cross alone is the way by which our sins can be washed away. There's no one else, friends, who can do us good. No one else who can feed our souls. No one else who says to himself, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Oh, friends, come to him. Taste the goodness of his word. Taste the reality of his power. Taste and see that the Lord is good. For in him, and in him alone, is the Alpha and the Omega of life. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come and taste of that glorious banquet of the cross of Christ. Oh, friends, you may think the cross and the idea of an atonement for sin is foolishness. You may think that the idea that blood must be shed for sin is something unwise, something barbaric, something medieval. But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. He knows us, friends. He knows our hearts. He knows our deceitfulness. He knows the great stain that holds us. He knows, friends, the chains that bind us. He knows the wickedness of our own souls. He knows the only remedy. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends. He willingly blesses. He willingly receives. He willingly delivers. In the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is far more willing to heal, far more willing to touch, far more willing to empower than we are to go. We treat God so often like a dark land, a land of darkness. We treat God so often with such suspicion, with such reluctance. But in Christ, what a wonderful Savior there is, welcoming us home, washing us, cleansing us, binding up the wounds like that good Samaritan. In Christ is one who has our best interests at heart. One who won't flatter us. One who won't tell us we're not sinners. One who won't tell us that our religion is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Oh no, friends, he cuts to the bone. He cuts to the heart. He says, all human religion is vain. All human effort in and of itself is worthless and worse than worthless. It's accursed and unacceptable in his sight. But in the cross is the place of return. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friend, for that glorious gift of life. There is no other way by which sinful men and women can return into the presence of a holy God. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my sight, he says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, friends, God is wonderfully patient, but even his patience has its limits. He will judge, he will hold to account, he will bring before the searchlight of his commands every act, every idle thought, and every word. Oh, friends, God will be vindicated. You know, our lives can only be one of two things, a demonstration of God's justice or a demonstration of God's mercy. Which will it be? Which will it be, friends? A demonstration of God's justice in condemning and judging sin, or a demonstration of his mercy? As sinners, born and bred, you don't need to teach a child to steal or lie. We have PhDs from the grave, from the cradle. We don't need, friends, to be taught to exaggerate or make excuses. Every little child, as soon as he speaks, begins to lie. From the cradle we go forth, perverse and crooked. By nature, friends, foolishness is bound in our hearts. But in Christ, there is power to wash us, power to change us, and power to deal with us, power to take away the root of sin. In the cross, in the death, and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the bread of life. There, friends, is that deliverance from sin, which alone will bless us and help us. You know, you'll never know happiness in your life until you know holiness. You'll never know contentment until you know righteousness. Your conscience will always be angry. You'll know that accusing voice of God in the back of your heart saying, why have you done that? Why have you lived like that? Oh, friends, the only place we can find and know solid peace is through the cross. There God's justice and his mercy meet. There is God's wonderful provision, freely and graciously, for our sin, for our folly, for our rebellion. There is the great breaker of the chains. In Christ, there is the fountain of life. And yet you've rejected life and chosen a broken system. What do you think, friends, of a man or woman who drank from a broken cistern, a toilet bowl? That's what you're doing. Chasing after fallen pleasures. Feeding yourselves on mud water. Feeding yourselves on things that will never satisfy. Like the prodigal son feeding himself on the husks of the pigs. Oh, friends, what is the benefit of a life lived just for the flesh? Don't you hear the warning of the Apostle John? He says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. He who would be a friend of this vile and selfish world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh, friends, is that your position this morning? A sworn up, paid up enemy of God. You won't escape. How can you escape from the omnipresence? How can you outwit the omniscient? How, friends, can you overcome the omnipotence? Seek him. Make peace with him before it's too late. He calls us to mercy. He calls us to life. And in him alone, is grace.